So I want to wrap up this weekend by speaking about one more quality of a beautiful mind or a good human being. And it is the quality of wise understanding. And the way I want to speak about it is to distinguish, to help you distinguish between information, knowledge, advice, and what I'll call wisdom, which in the context of our practice here is really the understanding that comes from our direct observation of the way things are. In the course of life, in the course of spiritual practice, in the course of all of our studies and acquiring the knowledge that we need to get on in life, we collect a tremendous amount of information. We are just filled with other people's understandings, information, advice, and just all kinds of how to do, what to do, why to do, when to do, and some of it fits and some of it doesn't, and we behave or misbehave accordingly, depending on how things are for us. While all of that is useful and probably necessary in the early years, the formative years of our life, there comes a point where we have to really see for ourselves what works, how things really are. And it is incumbent on us to come to know ourselves so authentically that we understand from our own personal experience what leads to suffering for ourselves or others and what does not. And while the laws of our country have certain prescribed do's and don'ts, that's not adequate enough for us to really awaken to the fullness of what causes suffering and what doesn't. And those laws, they just address the really grossest forms of suffering, where we act out or others act out in a way that causes immense harm. And then they're made illegal. Oh, well, okay, so we get some indication of that's the arena of skillful and unskillful, what causes suffering and what doesn't. And then, you know, our parents offer their own conditioning. They offer their understanding, their advice as to how we should behave and how we should understand our behavior. And, of course, if we don't do what they say, we also suffer, you know. But sometimes our parents are not so skillful either. Or they're just handing down ideas that they acquired from their parents or from their experience, which may not be valid for us. And if you go through a checkout counter in a grocery store, there's all kinds of advisors there that are willing to offer you their deep and profound insights and understanding of how to do, what not to do, and, you know, and you can take it all with a grain of salt or a pound of salt, depending on your own perspective. And we can read all that stuff, and we can get ideas, and we can get pointed in certain directions towards certain behaviors, and we can hear from other people how it has been for them. But in the end, we don't really know until we pay attention to our own experience. And this is the task of awareness. The task of awareness is to pay attention as continuously, as sensitively, as intimately as we can to our experience, because mindfulness will not lie. Awareness will not lie. It will tell you what is painful and what is not. What leads to suffering? What leads to suffering of yourself or others, and what does not? And there really is no other more sure guide than your own awareness. But it's difficult to rely on it because, you know, as we sit here, we see all kinds of pain in our bodies, pain in our emotional life, pain in our relationships, fear, anxiety. We see it's rampant. And the cause of these kinds, these various sufferings, is just not readily apparent. We don't know what we're doing that is causing, or that might be causing, or whether it even is causing the kind of pain that we experience with fear and anxiety and jealousy, let alone more acting out of them. So what awareness does is really pay such close attention that it really begins to understand intimately, moment to moment, what is suffering, both when we speak, when we act, when we think, and what we believe. And these are increasingly subtler dimensions or plateaus or arenas of suffering. Of course, when we speak in a very harsh, deceptive, abusive way, we know it's causing harm. What we often don't see is that it's causing us harm, because our heart contracts. In order to speak that way, our heart has to contract. And at some point in our awareness, we're going to feel the pain of that contraction. And sure, the other person who is receiving or hearing that speech, they're going to take it as, you know, abusive or abrasive or harsh or, you know, deceptive or whatever. And they get it, but we don't feel their pain. So until we pay attention and we see that, or we see it in ourselves, then we know, oh, this is unskillful. This kind of speech or this kind of behavior causes pain, causes suffering. And it's not because somebody else said so, or you can get punished legally or spiritually or from the church or whatever by it. It's because we see the contraction of our own heart, and it's painful. And when we can't stay open, when we can't really stay open to the fullness of our experience because it's so painful, we know we're doing something unskillful. We're speaking unskillfully, we're acting unskillfully, we're reacting emotionally in a way that's unskillful or causes pain to ourselves. And the subtlest and the most difficult to kind of uncover or expose in practice is by what we believe. When we believe things wrongly, it causes suffering to our own heart. It causes our heart to contract because we're not understanding things as they really are. And so there's a dissonance between our understanding and how we're acting and the way things really are. And that dissonance is felt as contraction and pain or fear or anxiety or all the things that we feel. But it's very difficult to come to and to really discover or to fall upon or to come upon the understanding that doesn't cause suffering. This is the direction that awareness and the development of insight or wise, insightful understanding is leading. So it's not just being comfortable in the body, it's not just, you know, having harmonious relationships or kind of working with the precepts, which is essential and necessary, but it's really looking at the misunderstanding in the mind, really coming to recognize, because I understand things this way, suffering is inevitable. To give you an example, somewhere today you've had some memories come up, and they may be painful memories. You know, memories of some fear or some jealousy or some anger. And it comes up and we think, I'm so angry. That is a wrong understanding. I mean, it's so ordinary and it's so accepted and it's so believable, but actually, it's a wrong understanding. And as long as we feel like I am angry, we'll suffer. As long as we claim it, as long as we own it, as long as we feel that there's a solid someone here to do that, there'll be suffering. And so the direction of insight practice and the development of wisdom is to really know for yourself, from your own experience, this is skillful, this is unskillful. This is skillful meaning it doesn't cause harm to anyone. This is unskillful because it does. And through the progression of practice, the development of awareness, and the progression of refining our understanding, we come to very subtle understanding, very subtle misunderstandings of the way things are. And as long as we're suffering, as long as we're in some sort of dissonant relationship with others, with ourselves, with our body, with the future, with the past, whatever, then there's a wrong understanding. We can be sure that we don't see things yet clearly. And so pain in practice or suffering in practice should be taken as should be seen as a necessary step, because it is exposing the behaviors, the physical behaviors, the verbal behaviors, the mental behaviors, and the beliefs that cause suffering. And so, in some ways, we should pray to see, to experience, whatever suffering still resides in the mind. Because then we can do something about it. If you don't look, you won't see. If you don't see suffering, you'll never make any adjustments. You'll never let go of the cause of that suffering. And it'll be there, waiting as a kind of a mind bomb for ripe condition. When the conditions ripen, poof, out comes that misunderstanding, out comes that emotional reactivity, out comes that outburst of speaking or acting that causes all kinds of suffering. And so until we see it, it's kind of resting there, kind of unseen, unknown, just waiting for conditions to kind of explode and cause suffering. So in insight practice, we look. We look really carefully. We look closely. We look continuously. We look with a very refined eye, internal eye, mind's eye, at every little flicker of discontentment in the mind or reactivity in the mind, because it's pointing to one of these mind bombs that's just kind of embedded in our view of the world. And what insight does is it exposes them. It brings them to the surface. You feel the pain. You feel the anxiety. You feel the frustration, disappointment, whatever it is. You feel it. Then you get a chance to work with it. Then you get a chance to really see what it takes to let go of that. Because when we let go of it, we really begin to understand things more accurately. This is the process of insight meditation or insight awareness, or the development of wise understanding through direct personal experience. Not from thinking about it, not from reading, not from thinking about what other people have read or said, but from our own experience of the mind and the body and its suffering and non-suffering. good luck. As we do all that we do in our life, it's important to bring the best of the wisdom we have. Whatever, however we understand things, bring that to bear on the decisions we make, what we say, what we do, how we practice, because wisdom, the understanding you have, and the most refined wisdom, or the most whatever wisdom you have, will minimize suffering. And of course, that's the direction we're going, hopefully, but that's the direction that I'm pointing us, and I hope you're with me on that. That's really where the work takes place, or that's really the work that is taking place, is removing suffering, and what's left is, well, a sense of ease and well-being. When suffering is absent, what's present? A sense of ease and well-being. You can call it peace, you can call it calmness, they're included, but it's a sense of well-being that is not shaken by changing conditions. When there is that deep understanding of the way things are, things change, things still change, but there's no misunderstanding of the way things are, and therefore the mind can rest in a sense of well-being.